woke up this day to the smell of sweetness. Our daughter Lucy and her friend Fiona having the day off of school to celebrate the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had baked a marble cake for his birthday. The layers of yellow and chocolate cake swirled in the Pyrex pan. They were glazed, warm, and so tasty, too. Upon seeing it, the first thing that came to my mind was integration. A perfect cake for a king. His dream come true. The glorious concept that not only are we created equal, but we can live together in tolerance, acceptance, appreciation, and ultimately, delicious peace. For isn't racism at the root of what makes this world so desperately ill when it comes to humanity, security, and the pursuit of happiness? Isn't racism at the core of genocide, whether it's between Caucasians and African Americans, Mexicans and El Salvadorians, Sunni and Shia, Hutu and Tutsis, or ethnic Albanians and Serbs, Palestinians, Israelis, and you can even include gay and straight in this litany? Racism is the belief that God, or whatever name they call him or her, has chosen one race as more valuable, special, or righteous than the others. As if God were a bigot. Ha! Who on earth could subscribe to such small-mindedness for the so-called creator of the universe? Unfortunately, I suppose logic doesn't suffice here. While Dr. King reigned as the moral leader of this nation, there was a notion that we could, in fact, slowly but surely address and evolve in terms of equality. As I look over the landscape of humanity today, I am saddened by the ongoing constipation of this reasonable request. In fact, now having a president who himself is an integration of races, one would think that this is a marvelous embodiment of success, a golden opportunity to shine an uncensored light on the continuing outbreaks of racism near and far. Yet to see an effigy of Obama hanging from a general store in Plains, Georgia, was a terrible image to behold in the new year. Or to hear Harry Reid's ignorance broadcast to the public, embarrassing. But far more disturbing to me overall is the resistance of President Obama himself to making the conversation a vital part of his administration. Simply accepting the apology of Mr. Reid and not even acknowledging this teachable moment becomes an obstacle to true progress. A stubborn dichotomy in the form of feigned forgiveness. We are not at the point of forgiveness. We have barely opened the door of conversation, let alone dispensation. President Obama, should he accept this mission, could truly, on a global level, help us begin the dialogue. Imagine his next Saturday morning address beginning with, "Good day, my fellow Americans. I'd like to talk with you today about race. I know it hasn't escaped your attention that you now have what looks like the first black president of the United States. Some of you are still in shock over this new reality, others uplifted by it. But nevertheless, the time has come for us to grow up and come to terms with racism, which is hatred based on ignorance and fear. My administration has created a cabinet-level position for the new head of Homeland Diversity." Imagine. Well, it's possible, you know. For now, it's a dream. But it is possible. And until we are given permission, guidance, and leadership into the realm of racism, we too will ignore the elephant on our laps, and we will surely be crushed by it. You can call the White House anytime and ask for the creation of such a cabinet at 202-456-1111. This is Sherry Glazer Love, and if you'd like to feedback on this commentary, please go to my website at www.sherryglazer.net. We shall be free. We shall be free.
Have a little faith.
Hold on.
Ooh, yeah.